Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K 12 Education Talk Radio on November 26, 2019, 2 days before Thanksgiving, and I hope everybody has a happy and safe one and drives carefully, especially out west, Midwest and west, where they're expecting this big storm. So be careful if you're planning to go somewhere, and hope the airplanes fly and you get there safely. Okay, here in New England, it's sunny, and I guess it's going to be a nice day for Thanksgiving. Okay, and we somebody else gave some thanks here. Actually, it was ALAS, the Association of Latin School Administrators, and they gave out two scholarships sponsored by my friends at Curriculum Associates. Let me read this to you. This is really interesting. Okay, hold on 1 second. I lost it here for a second. For the fifth consecutive year, Curriculum Associates, my good friends, have partnered with the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, ALAS, to support the professional advancements of Latino administrators by helping them earn advanced degrees in education. This year's scholarship recipients are my guests today, Belinda Reyes of the School District of Osceola County in Kissimmee, Florida, and Beatrice Maldonado of Berwyn South School District 100, another crazily named school district in good old Illinois, this one in Berwyn. And he's going to get $10,000 and $2,000 respectively to support their continuing education. It's really incredible. I wanted to honor them and thank my friends at Curriculum Associates and ALAS for doing this for them. And so Beatrice and Belinda are going to be here today. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org, and tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. I'll tell these two educators, as well as all of you, we have our wonderful magazine, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, not a special ed magazine. It's for exactly what we're talking about today, equity in education. All right? It's ACNE, our website. It's an online journal, ace-ed.org, and I hope everybody listening goes over there and there's a subscribe button. The subscription is free. We're not going to give out your name and all that sort of stuff. Please check out the magazine. It's all right there on the website, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. It's a brand new issue. It's a wonderful issue, and it's all about what we're going to be talking about today, equity, diversity, and how education is changing and working to meet the needs of every school, every student, every day. So please check it all out. Let me bring on my two wonderful guests who are so deserving of the award, okay? Beatrice, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Call me Larry, please, and it's a pleasure to have you here. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Larry, and thank you, Curriculum Associates and ALAS. This was such a wonderful, just a wonderful gift that they gave us, and I'm really excited that we were able to be the recipients. So thank you so very much, and thank you for having us.
Oh, you are welcome. We're going to talk about all the wonderful things you do, along with Belinda. Hi, Belinda. I'm Larry. Nice to have you here.
Good morning, Larry and Beatrice. How are you doing? I'm very excited to be here and to really promote the good work of ALAS with the support of Curriculum and Associates.
And, you know, I got to tell both of you, when both of you say ALAS, you say it more beautifully than I do. I have my broad Philadelphia A, and I just say ALAS. But you guys go ALAS. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, I love that, and it's just great. And they're a fine organization, and again, my good friends, Curriculum Associates, when I saw the press release, I just knew I had to have you on. Belinda, you are in Osceola Schools, okay? Is it Osceola County? I think it is it?
It is in Osceola County, and the district is called the District of Osceola County.
There you go, okay, and that's in Kissimmee, right by Orlando, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I was there before, just when they were building Disney. I've been there since, but I was there when they were building Disney World, and I'm telling you, there was nothing in Kissimmee, and I have a feeling it's grown up since then.
It has definitely changed. Kissimmee is now a minority-majority. The whole district has really flipped in demographics, and now we're almost 65% Hispanic.
There you go. Right? All good, as a matter of fact. Okay, we're going to talk about this. And by the way, you have a wonderful title, Executive Director for Multicultural Curriculum. I love that title, Multicultural Curriculum Instruction and Compliance. That's our magazine, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. We're going to talk about this. Beatrice, you are the Director of Language Acquisition. Okay, does that mean ELL? That's what you teach in Berwyn?
Yes. So I serve the children who are enrolled in our dual language programs and our English as a second language programs and children in bilingual programs. So we have all three programs in our district.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. I thought it was just going to be on ESL. That's terrific. Explain your – Belinda, let me go back to you. Explain your – first of all, describe the school district, if you don't mind. You just helped a little bit, but talk about socioeconomic, that kind of thing. And also tell everybody what your job entails as Executive Director for Multicultural Curriculum Instruction and Compliance.
Certainly. We have a beautiful district. The school district of Osceola County is really rooted in tradition and relationships. And so we maintain a lot of the traditions from years past, like the rodeo day and patriotism and family. It's really a very homegrown district. Our district was originally a farming district. A lot of the founding families were farmers, and in fact, our superintendent is part of one of those families, and she still lives in a working ranch. Yes, it's very interesting, very just a place to belong. Now, at the same time, I mentioned the changing demographics, and so now you have so much diversity. We have students from certainly Puerto Rico, Brazil, from Haiti. I could go on and on because we really represent 106 different languages within our school district. So you have this sense of tradition and just a link to the past from the district, but you also have this innovation and this excitement about the diversity and the different people that really make up our district at this time. So that's a little bit of about our district. It's just the right place to be at the right time. It really is that innovation meets that home feeling that you get at Thanksgiving when you go home. It's a wonderful district.
Beautifully said. How long have you been there?
Well, that is interesting. This time around, I am on my third year. So when I was 10 years old, our family moved from Puerto Rico to the school district of Osceola County. We moved to St. Cloud specifically. I grew up there, graduated high school there. I taught in the high school where I graduated, right across the hall from my favorite teacher, Ms. Denise L.R. Para.
And you got to call her by
retired.
Your first name. You couldn't do that when you were in high school. That's the fun of teaching at your own school.
It's so interesting because she always tried to get me to do that, and the best that I could do is just cut out the myth and call her Para. just out of respect. But I like I said, I grew up there. I went to school there, and then I left for our nearby school district where I spent 16 and a half years. Growing from dean to assistant principal to principal, and then I became executive area director. And I just really supported and supervised principals in schools. And then came ALAS and the Superintendent Leadership Academy, and really this continued drive for equity. And I had the opportunity to grow in my profession and become executive director for multicultural curriculum instruction and compliance back at the district where I once was an English language learner.
There you go.
So that was an opportunity not to be passed, yes.
Wonderful. What a great story. I love that. And we're going to go. I wrote it down. I want to go over to Beatrice for a few minutes where we're going to talk about your comment where you said, quote, continued drive for equity. Okay, that's so important these days. And if you ladies don't go over and check out our magazine, ace-ed.org, accessibility, compliance, and equity, I'm going to be very mad at you. I'm going to fly to Illinois and fly and hit you in the head with like a feather duster or something. You've got to go over and check that out. Okay? Beatrice, you there?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
And cold,
yes,
like
I
live in Maine now, but I lived in Chicago for 13 years. I know where Berwyn is. You're director of language acquisition. Okay, it's always sunny and 85 degrees, even in the winter, right, in Berwyn? Am I right?
All
just
the
like
time,
that?
Even in the winter. Even in the winter.
Yeah. I know Belinda
in our
thinks
dreams,
it's always
actually
cold,
it is.
But it's not. It's always beautiful in Berwyn.
No.
That's the
you
motto.
You know what? Okay. We actually have a heat wave today going on. It's about 45 degrees right now.
Welcome to Maine.
So it's nice and warm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I moved from Chicago to New England, so my family and I must like cold weather because we never really got into warm weather, okay, and it's going to be great. Tell us about Berwyn, your district.
For sure. So Berwyn is about 10 miles just west of the city of Chicago. So if you are right at downtown Chicago and go 10 miles west, you will find a small little town of about 3 square miles that has actually 2 school districts. Well, actually 3 if you count the high school.
Yeah. Welcome to Illinois.
Exactly.
It's so nuts.
It has
about, I love
about
it
830
there,
school districts across, statewide. And
yeah.
So,
you know about this? Belinda, do you know about this, Belinda?
Say that again, Larry. I'm sorry.
Belinda, do you know about the school districts in Illinois?
I do not. I'm sitting here thinking that's a wonderful size district. We're about 70,000 students in my district before we were over 200. So I'm liking the numbers, Beatrice.
Well, forget.
Wow.
What you don't understand, though, is that they're not K-12 districts. Okay.
No.
Beatrice said, like, the elementary schools could be one district, then they might go into another town. The high school might share its high school district with another 2 towns or maybe just be by itself. Right, Beatrice? It's nuts, right?
Yes. No, it's insane.
Thank you.
So we have – our high school has 5 feeder districts and 5 – well, not 5 different towns in about 4, exactly.
Yeah,
so
but five different feeder districts.
Right, right. And then our little town –
Yeah.
Yes. And so we have 3 superintendents in our little area, 3 school boards. So it actually does get quite interesting. You know, politics is always a big, big part of Illinois. And so our little town has always been a little like a stepping stone. You know, people who were moving out of Chicago and wanted to come into the suburbs and have this feel. You know, we have the ability to have like a lot of trains that are near us that – you know, you just hop on the train and come right out to our town. And we have a town that is always transitioning. Started very much, you know, with Swedish roots and Swedish immigrants, and that's kind of how it was started. And then has moved on, you know, over the years to now our school district. It's over 80% Latino. And so, you know, it's always been a very interesting little district. You know, when I started in the district about 18 years ago, and I also was in the district and I left and then I came back, right? So I started, it was very, there weren't that many Latinos here. We had a very, very tiny bilingual program. It was actually just starting. And then, you know, I left to finish my master's degree. And when I came back as an administrator, you know, about 5 or 6 years later. And so it's just been a really interesting change. So we have about 81% students who are, you know, who fall under low income, according to our free reduced, you know, status. 16% of our students have IEPs, so are in the special education realm, and 28% English learners with an enrollment of about 3,600 students. So not large in the sense of, you know, where you're at, Belinda, but certainly a mid-sized district here for Illinois with our 3,600 students.
Yeah,
so
it's
8 schools.
Yeah,
8 schools, 13 languages. So not terribly, you know, diverse in the sense like, oh, we have a lot of diversity. Unfortunately, we don't. You know, most of our families are Latino, but we do have a few families who do speak other languages, Arabic and Vietnamese being, you know, predominantly the languages that are, or Tagalog rather, the languages that are spoken by our families.
Right. It's so interesting. And Berwyn is a great example of how small communities change over the course of time. Okay. And that's wonderful. Okay. And it speaks to the American dream, if I may. All right.
For sure.
But it puts a pressure, if I may, and Belinda, you can speak about this, I'll talk about this, on the educators who have to constantly be culturally relating to different groups and make the education work for those children. And that's what you two are doing every day by virtue of what you do. And, of course, ALAS and Curriculum Associates, okay, awarded you, which is just wonderful, with the scholarship. And, Belinda, were you surprised when you heard you won the scholarship?
I was surprised and delighted. It's twofold. Of course, there is that financial assistance. But also, it's about the faith. It's about a group, an organization truly having faith in me and my leadership to move the kids forward. I found that so exciting and just really encouraging.
It's wonderful. And what are you going to do? What did you win? Tell everybody what you won from all us.
As part of the scholarship, I was awarded with $10,000 toward my doctoral degree. I'm about 2 years into my program right now.
I can save you some money on that if you apply to the University of Larry. Okay, it's 140. it's 140 character doctoral thesis. Okay, and you'll be done in less than 45 minutes. You'll have $9,900 left over to do whatever you want with. What do you say? I know the admissions What do you say?
Oh, my goodness. I'm in the middle of editing my chapter 2. So, wow, that sounds exciting.
There you go.
I'll keep the track.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, you might want to go. Just think about it. We have a great football team here, okay? All right. That's wonderful. So you're going to use the money that you won, and God bless you, for going to go to improve, get your doctorate degree. Beatrice, what did you win? And what are you going to do with all this loot?
With all this loot. So I won $2,000 from Curriculum Associates and from ALAS. And,
yeah.
Again, I'm applying it to my higher ed degree. I'm almost, I'm still writing my chapter 2. And so it'll
Everybody's
be applied towards
two.
My... Chapter 2, everybody's on Chapter 2.
Yeah.
Well, I was on Chapter 1 for a little while, but now I've moved on to Chapter 2. And so I'm hoping that I have 3 semesters left. And so this $2,000 is actually going to be able to cover those 3 semesters that I have left. So I'm really excited about that.
And is that for a doctorate? It's for a doctorate, I assume.
It is for a doctorate. It is for a PhD in educational leadership.
Where?
At Concordia University, Chicago.
Oh, great. And what about you, Belinda? Where are you going?
I am at American College of Education, and that's ACE for short, so I will not forget your aceed.org.
There you go, ace-ed.org. That's great. I love that. That is ACE. Okay, you're right. All right, and that's great. I wish both of you the very best in that, because the more you learn, the better off you're doing it. And actually, and for the kids, and that's what it's all about. Belinda, you when we were planning this show, you wanted me to ask you, is your dissertation, and you said this before, you must have a focus on this, continued drive for equity. Does your dissertation, if I may ask, have to do with equity?
Indeed. I'm looking for correlations between dual language and mainstream instruction with academic achievement and language acquisition. So I'm looking for ways to really bring equity to English language learners in my district. That's mostly Latinos, but it absolutely encompasses students from many other countries. I think what's really important is we're always striving for equity for all. And when we're leaders, we're not just leaders of Latino students or Hispanic students or low socioeconomics. I mentioned my district. We're in the high 90s for low socioeconomics of our students in the district overall. So there's a lot of work for a lot of kids. So I wanted to mention how important it is that we're leaders for all kids. I think that in addition to that, as a Latino leader, I need to see the importance of super accelerating instruction opportunities, equity, and access for Latino students who also happen to be represented in that low socioeconomic group. So while I'm a leader for all, I have an absolute eye to make sure that I super accelerate those that need to catch up with others.
That is hard to do. And you understand this, and I'm going to ask Beatrice kind of these same questions in a minute. Belinda, you understand this, and you look at it every day from where you sit as the multicultural director. How do the teachers in the classroom react to this? And how do they react with all the good things that you give them? How's that all meld together?
It really accentuated in 2017 when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, and we had
terrible.
We had 2,700 students from Puerto Rico join us in about a month.
Oh, my Lord.
So in talking to Beatrice now, that's about what, Beatrice, like two-thirds of your district?
Probably.
Just show
wow.
up all at once.
Yeah, wow.
And so our district really has several towns and cities. If you go towards the west side of the town, that's where most of the Hispanic population lives. And so those schools are very, very accustomed to the needs of English language learners and Hispanics. Whereas in the east side, although the, you know, Hispanics also reside there, it's just not as high in numbers. When our 2,700 students came, they came all over the district. They
right.
didn't just reside on the west side. So you had schools and teachers that really needed extra support, not only in that language acquisition and bridging academics, but also in the culture, really, and the amounts of culture of the students coming in. And I have to say, with all the grace, teachers and administrators were saying, these kids are the hardest working kids on our campus. What can we do to help? Tell us. Just tell us what we need to do. And so we work together as a team to really grow in our educational practices. And while that was a devastating event for Puerto Rico, you know, with certainty, I have to say that our district grew. And our superintendent really led the charge. She met with all the leaders, and she said, from this day, these are not the students from Puerto Rico. These are our students.
That's right.
And
God,
we need to figure out, yes, we need to figure out what it is that each of us needs to grow in to be able to serve them. And really, she led. It was just so heartwarming to see a district come together. It was amazing because, as you know, Larry, there's districts that might not have that type of leadership, and they might not have that type of workforce that embraces diversity in this way, but our district did. So it was really wonderful. It was a lot of work, and it continues to be, because we continue to really embed best practices. And just like any learner, whether it's a child or an adult, we can only absorb so much at a time. And
But the job you guys have done is, you and the school district have done absolutely unbelievable work under so much pressure. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's just wonderful. You know, and I know Beatrice would agree. Beatrice, you know, you didn't have this particular challenge, but you have plenty of challenges in Berwyn, okay? And just on I'm curious, on a day-to-day basis, what's the biggest challenges that you see there in Berwyn? And I'm curious, you know, are you the only Latino administrator there, or are there others? Because you're 80% Latino in the school district.
We have, at the district office, I am the only director that is Latino.
Okay.
At the school level, we have one principal who is Latina and speaks Spanish, and she is a principal in one of our dual language schools. And our remaining seven principals are, of a variety of ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of being representative of our district and, you know, the leadership and so forth, I think that is an area that we can certainly continue growing in. I think that our children want to see people who look like them, who speak like them in leadership positions,
yeah,
because that'll certainly motivate them.
And also in classroom positions, okay? How about the teachers?
And in classroom positions.
Again, I'm not condemning or anything like that. I'm just curious as to the numbers, because you mentioned they were 80%.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
I think that the majority of the teachers who are of Latino descent are serving in our dual language and bilingual classrooms or in our ESL resource positions. However, our general ed, English classrooms are predominantly do not have teachers who speak Spanish. We have pockets, maybe one or two in each school. But again, we predominantly have, a school community who doesn't necessarily reflect the the community that we serve, in terms of our ethnicity or in terms of our language, that we are, you know, that we can't necessarily connect and communicate.
And
so,
so
I think that that's an area that...
You're right. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's an area that has to grow. And I just want to swing that simple question right back quickly, Belinda. How many? What's the percentage of Latino educators there? Latino, whatever you want to say.
Very underrepresented in that area, Larry.
All right. So here's the thing, and I'm not condemning the school district because you got to work with what you have. It's fine. Those teachers aren't as dedicated as anyone else. But you're in the catbird seat because you both have heavily Latino districts. Encourage them to become educators and tell them why, okay, that kids who are coming after you need to see people that look just like them to encourage them to go to college and go on to a great career. Okay, and this is what educators do across the country. They always have career day, and they bring every profession in but teachers. Okay, and you got to do it. It's true. Go become a veterinarian. Hey, how about becoming a teacher? Okay, that's simple.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that that's where it starts, right? It starts, you know, from our teachers, you know, encouraging our students to go into the field of education, to saying, you know, what a rewarding profession this is. I mean, I'll tell you that I've had a variety of jobs. You know, I changed my career, you know, midway, and this particular role that I have been in for the last 18 years in terms of being an educator is possibly the most rewarding that I have ever experienced.
There you
and
go.
So if we can encourage our teachers to share that with our students, I think that that's where you hook them. You hook them in kindergarten. You hook them in preschool. You hook them, you know, in the early grades, and just continue encouraging them to just go into that profession because it is such a rewarding profession. Just unbelievable the work that you can do as a teacher.
Absolutely, and you're both examples of that. I'm having an odd thing this week. Yesterday I did a show with a professor named Tracy Benson, who's an African-American gentleman down at UNC Charlotte, and he wrote a wonderful book called Unconscious Bias in Schools, A Developmental Approach to Exploring Race and Racism. It's really a wonderful book. And he was on the show yesterday. And as we were preparing the show, Beatrice, you wrote a question that pertains to that. Okay, what policies and practices found in school districts, and this is across the board, again, you're a la scholarship winners, okay, what practices are deliberately or unintentionally perpetuating inequities for children in schools? And I believe most of it is unintentional, but it's happening. There is an unconscious
absolutely.
Bias. And Beatrice, you talk, and then I'm going to let my friend Belinda answer that. But Beatrice, you go first.
Certainly. I think that this is, you know, with our best intentions, nobody goes into the field saying, well, you know what, I'm just going to ruin it for those Latino children, right? No one says that. However, what we do when we're allocating resources and when we're trying to fund and saying, all right, you know, we're going to allocate resources in this manner, we have to really think about how it's impacting the children that are in our classrooms. When we're thinking about our discipline policies, even our dress code or our gender policies, we have to think about who are the children who we serve, who are the families that we serve. Are we inviting them into having a voice when we're creating these policies? Are we inviting parents? Are we inviting students in these types of things? When we're thinking about grading policies, you know, how are we grading our children? Are we grading them on compliance, or are we grading them on their actual performance? And I think that all of these things we have to really look at and think about, how are we unintentionally perpetuating this idea of bias, like you're saying, right? And again, it's not intentional. It's not like we're doing it maliciously. These are just things that we are doing. And so we have to really think about and ask ourselves those questions. And when we are getting ready to set our new policy, let's have a little focus group. Let's have, you know, let's connect with students. Let's connect with parents. Let's connect with staff and teachers and ask and how this might impact the children we serve. And so I think it's all of those things that we need to start looking at.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Belinda, your thoughts on that? Unconscious bias.
I absolutely agree. And like Beatrice said, it's always from a good place that our teachers have.
Absolutely.
And we have to remember, we only know what we know. So if we don't know much about diversity in other cultures, we are limited as to how much we can include them. And so I see that in the quality of education, which we've made a good turnaround as a very quick example. Sometimes we don't have high expectations for our English learners or students of other cultures, so we try to be nice to them. And so everyone here on this side of the room is learning on the different parts of a flower and how they interconnect. And my ELL friend might have at one point been coloring a flower. So to think that they can engage in the work is a bias.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
That is very key to make sure that we think about more in the lines of what kind of cognates, what kind of instructional practices can I employ in my room to ensure that the students are held to the same high achievement expectation. And, you know, Larry, with anything, it is how we lead. We cannot just expect people to do things and get them done. And
that's
so
right.
I'll share this with you. We need to lead in the way that we hold professional development so that the teachers can experience those inclusive practices. And we also have to hire accordingly. Beatrice touched on something very key, and that is, who do we have in that campus that knows how to support our children and our families? Well, if we're going to have those kind of hiring expectations, then we need to emulate it when it's our turn as leaders. I will share with you, always, 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 we hire the best person for the job, regardless of race, ethnicity, languages spoken. We always hire the best person for the job. Having said that, we need to think about how we determine who the best person for the job is, because we, of course, want someone who can do the technical side, that, who has the skills, correct? And we also mm-hmm. want someone to fit in, do we not? So at times when we're looking for someone to fit in, we might be really needing someone who fits into the changing population of the school and not necessarily to the existing population of adults at the school.
Very well said.
I will say, case in point, in our district, we have very few Latino-Hispanic administrators. And our superintendent remains that we will hire the best people for the job.
Exactly.
With that, she also said, we need to look at the leadership also resembling our student population within that. So where does that leave us? As part of ALAS, I am vice president of the Florida ALAS affiliate of the National ALAS.
Okay, Madam Vice President.
Oh, I thank you. And so something that we're working on as a state is to really build that Latino leadership so that we can build up our Latino youth. So in our district, when ALAS came, the national conference was actually in Central Florida this year. So I spoke to assistant superintendents in our district and to the chief of staff and said, let's talk about who are some up-and-coming Latinos. Let's agree on some names, because I want to engage them with ALAS, but more importantly, engage them with the equity piece and how to grow as leaders, because we have to be able to make it past assistant principalship.
I was just going to say, I agree with you, and the problem is, and Beatrice will say the same thing, the pool of people that we can pick from is too small. We have to encourage people to Latinos in this case, to become educators. All right? We just have to do this. We have to create our own workforce. All right? And make sure
that we
like our profession. We like our education industry. Okay? We like what we do. Let's encourage kids to get in it, and let's encourage you. Again, you have predominantly Latino districts. These kids should be pumping for this. Look at the wonderful educators they have working with them. It's unbelievable. Okay, ladies, I can't think of two more deserving people to get these scholarships. Congratulations. You're wonderful, Beatrice and Belinda. The B and B girls, Belinda and Beatrice. Okay,
Thank you, Larry. We appreciate you.
Thank you so very much.
Please check out the magazine. I'm going to send you a copy of this show, and maybe we can get you to write something for the magazine. Would you like to do that?
That'd be amazing. Absolutely.
Okay, we would love it. Okay, you two are wonderful, and I want to wish you both a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
How do you say that in Spanish? Happy Thanksgiving. Beatrice.
Oh, Feliz Día de Acción de Gracias. Did you get that? Feliz Día de Acción de Gracias.
Belinda, was that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, gracias.
You did a great job. Gracias, Beatrice.
Yes.
Gracias, Belinda. Thank you so very much, Larry.
Both of you have a great holiday. Okay, stay safe, stay dressed, and have a nice, warm family Thanksgiving. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And I can't do it, but happy Thanksgiving in Spanish. Okay, there you go, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Wow, what lovely ladies. What deserving ladies. Thank you, Curriculum Associates. Thank you, that wonderful organization, ALAS. Okay, and wow, just great. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. And this is our last show. Then we'll be back on Monday. And please check out our magazine, ACNE, at ace-ed.org. And subscribe while you're there. It's free. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. You'll love the magazine.